Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. It is good to be on with you on this Thursday. Geez, Lord help us. This Wednesday morning, this Wednesday rainy morning. And sorry, my computer's asking me a few questions. And yeah, there we go. And Wednesday rainy morning. If your family's like mine, your kids head off back to school today to start their academic school year. And yeah, it's so funny to see as the ages progress, the different ways kids respond to that. My two girls who are in school, man, they are excited. They have their new outfits. Loretta, she loves her dresses. And today she has on the most sparkly dress that has apples on it. And she is excited about that. And it took her extra long to decide what shoes she was going to wear with it. In comparison to my 10-year-old son, who yesterday, I had to feel like I was a motivational coach trying to teach him the importance of school and why it's important. And if he doesn't go, dad will go to jail. So whether he likes it or not, he's going back to school. So interesting to see the different dynamics there. And next year, Bob, our 3-year-old, will be in pre-K. So then we'll only have one not in school. But anyway, so we're going to pray for them. Maybe at the end of the live today, we'll pray for them. But we're certainly going to pray for them as well this Sunday at Hope City Church. We want to pray for all of our students and teachers who are going back to school, and just cover them all in prayer. So that'd be good. All right. Well, if you are listening or watching, as we say every day, on a platform that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, please do so. Helps us keep the algorithms going and get this message out to as many people as possible. So if you wouldn't mind just taking a moment to do that, become a digital missionary, as we call it. Easy to spread the gospel. Simply hit share, like, or subscribe, and all that can happen. Well, this week we are going through the Lord's Prayer, and I've already heard just from our online response from so many of you how this teaching has already kind of opened up the power of the Lord's Prayer into your life. And, you know, I started off by saying yesterday, one of the things that we can get caught up on when we're talking about a very familiar passage of scripture or something like the Lord's Prayer, where even if you're not a believer and you're not walking with the Lord, just from culture, most of us would know our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, would know the basics of that. And sometimes that is a detriment because we hear it and we just mutter off some words that are religious and we feel like, well, I've accomplished it. Or it doesn't have really any power. It was just this thing. But as we started looking yesterday, there is power in the Lord's Prayer. So the rest of this week, we're going to walk through the Lord's Prayer. If you miss any of it, you can go back and find it on all of our platforms. And I know it'll bless your life. So today, I've encouraged all of us this week to try to memorize the Lord's Prayer. As just put it on a card, write it down somewhere, make it the screensaver on your phone. So every time you open up your phone, you're looking at it and you read through it, memorize it, get it into your heart. And I have encouraged us also to this week, mark out 3 times a day that you're going to pray. Morning, because we're going to pray here together, but morning, afternoon on your lunch break, evening before bed. And you may already be doing that in your world. But if not, just kind of make it a pinpoint that this week, I'm going to pray 3 times a day. I'm going to start some healthy new rhythms and patterns in my life that are going to help me. And so if you would do that with me this week, memorize the Lord's Prayer and mark to pray 3 times a day, I know that it'll greatly bless your life. All right, so let's read through the Lord's Prayer together. We're reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And then we'll get into today's teaching. And it says, "Our Father in heaven." Now, I know right away, because it's not the traditional, this is the New King James. And, we're used to saying, "Our Father who art in heaven." So there are many versions based on your translation, but we're coming from the New King James today. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Forever. Amen. So this certainly is not meant to be a carbon type of prayer that, you know, well, you know, when we talk about prayer in the life of the church or the life of a believer, well, I said the Lord's Prayer today, therefore I've prayed. We know that it's not meant to be a carbon prayer, but an outline of categories that would help unburden our hearts. Yesterday, we looked at, you know, when Jesus just said, "Our Father who art in heaven," how revolutionary that was to those who were hearing that in there that day, that it broke stereotypes and molds, and it brought this distant God in the universe somewhere close as a father, as an Abba, that, you know, we would pray that his kingdom would be done, his will would be done in our life, and not our will. And those are the best prayers that we can pray is, "Father, I know this might be a desire of mine, but you know best. You're God and I'm not." It helps us realign that we aren't the center of the universe. He is, right? And so he knows what we need. He knows what we should have. He knows the desires of our hearts. But sometimes it's in his timing. So again, it's not meant to be a carbon copy prayer, but we're an outline of categories to unburden our hearts. So I want to talk to you today about the second portion of this. We talked about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We talked about that yesterday. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth that is as in heaven. But now we want to look at verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm going to break this teaching down into five acronyms for bread, B-R-E-A-D. So if you're taking notes or whatever, just to help you. But bread is basic. Why did he talk about bread? Well, bread is basic. Here's the thing about bread. It's not flashy, right? It's just basic bread and butter. And in Jesus's day, it was a staple of their diet. It was super simple to make. It's just flour, yeast, salt, and water. A very basic thing, but it actually is very complex when you think about how it comes to us when you boil it the whole way down. You think about the farmer harvesting the wheat, the making of the flour, the baker, the truck driver that gets it to the grocery store, the grocer, the, you know, chef in the kitchen making it, the waiter, all of that happens before it gets to our table. And in our culture, there's a lot happening behind the scenes before it gets to us. But breaking bread down to its basic culture, it's very a basic meal. So it represents that it's easy, it's basic, it's a staple, it's an everyday. It also represents currency. We describe money often as dough, right? Like, who's the breadwinner in your house? Who's bringing in the dough? Bread becomes big enough for us to put all of our needs into it. This prayer is teaching us to look to God as our source. It's basic, it's everyday, but it's a staple. It's powerful. It can fill a hunger. It can fill a void. So this teaching us to not underestimate the power of the basic, right? Come to God as your source. When we are in need, what do? Let prayer be your first response and let not your last resort. He wants us to seek first the kingdom of God. So often, bread is, again, overlooked as this side element. But come on, bread, when it's right, can have so many nutrients in it. It's basic, but it's powerful, right? Our dog had to have a little surgery, and every twice a day, she's got to take 3 pills. And the best way I can get it to her is I stuff it into a little piece of bread because she loves bread, right? So it's delivering more nutrients to her life. So this reminding us that, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, that basic piece, but yet is so powerful, right? So bread, it's basic, but it rises. There's the R. Bread rises. When life gets hot, it gets higher. Come on. Everything that bread is put through to get to you, harvested, cut down, mixed together, put in a hot oven, is a picture of what God wants to do in you. Putting that seed into the soil, it's the reward for growing. Just think about that. The reward for growing is to be cut down. The reward for going into the soil and being planted and producing what God's called you to produce, the reward for all of that is being cut down later on. But it's a part of the process of God getting to you what he wants to get to you. So again, when he says, give us this day our daily bread, there's power in that. Listen, John 12, 24 says, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Because of what the baker puts into it, when what's inside reaches the fire, it activates in growth. Here's a reminder that the things that come against you aren't going to destroy you. You are better in the heat. You are better under pressure. But come on, when you are put into the fire, it's not going to destroy you, but pull out the best that's in you. Come on, it's not always an enjoyable process to grow. It's not always an enjoyable process to, you know, be cut down and harvested and mixed together and crushed up and thrown into the fire. But in doing so, it's producing God's purpose and plan for your life. It's not always enjoyable, but come on, it's always profitable. So B-R-E, energy. It takes energy to make bread. Every aspect of it involves manpower. Listen, God's provision involves us breaking a sweat. I've talked about this extensively before, but don't pray for what you're not willing to work for. Prayer isn't passive. It's active. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. What we often find is that we pray for bread and he'll give us a seed and say, you want bread? Plant it, harvest it, crush it, bake it. Then you have bread. Right? Like we want like modern day bread. We want it delivered, cut, sliced, packed up. We want it easy, quick, now. But in faith, that's often not how God works. Often God will say, we pray for bread. And what does he do? He gives us seed. So sometimes we're saying, well, Lord, I've been asking for bread. I've been asking, you haven't been providing it. And God said, no, I gave you the seed. I gave you what you need to produce what you're asking for. Saying, Lord, I'm praying for, you know, a better job. And you're just waiting for a phone call to ring or somebody to knock down your door. You haven't touched up your resume. You haven't submitted it anywhere. You haven't seen what doors were open. Come on, you haven't ironed your shirt, got your interview outfit ready. So we ask for bread and God often gives us seed. So what I've learned is that prayer is not passive. Prayer is active. And I think when we get this, when we understand this, we will stop going into the prayer closet and grumbling off 50 requests to God half-heartedly and just say, well, I'm waiting to see what he does. No, I won't ask for. I'm going to filter what I'm asking God for through my ability to work for it. I'm asking God for a promotion. All I'm seeing is dollar signs. All right, God, but let me process that for a minute. A promotion is going to mean more work, more responsibility, more people under me. People always equal problems and complaints, more stress, longer hours. Now, God, let me process here for a minute. Now, before I go ask God for the promotion, am I willing to work for that? I might need more training. I might need to up my game. I might need to, you know, be better at some things. I preached out of town this past weekend at another church, and I watched a clip back of my sermon, and right away, one of the things I first noticed is I said, use. I was speaking to the congregation, and I said, use. And I know that's not proper English, but here in Lancaster County, we say use. But in hearing that and preaching outside of Lancaster County, it's one of those things I thought, man, I gotta write down some of these words that I'm saying. I make up words half the time when I'm preaching anyway, but these words that I'm saying that are slang here in Lancaster County, that an outsider from our area might be like, hey, that what is he talking about? Or what is he saying? Or why doesn't he use proper English, right? I got to filter that. So I'm always trying to grow at my craft, and how can I preach better and communicate better and deliver the word of God better? I'm asking God, well, Lord, increase our ministry, increase our church, increase our footprint. Let us reach more people. And God's saying, all right, I need you to increase you. I need you to be able to increase what you can endure and sustain and hold to. So again, before I would ask God for a promotion, I would step back and say, Lord, all right, am I willing to give more time, to get more training, to better myself, to handle people problems? And what I'm saying is I often find when we process through our prayers that way, we will find that, you know what? God, just thank you for blessing me with this job that I'm at now. Thank you that I'm making good money, and thank you that I don't have all those people problems. And you know, do you understand what I'm saying? But when you can say, Lord, I'm willing. I'll do what did I have to do. I'll start now. I'll start the training. I'll start the education. I'll hone in my people skills. I'll do whatever it is I have to do. I'm willing to work for what I'm praying for, right? You know, often we pray that, like, Lord, grow our church, but then we refuse to get involved. We ask God to provide, but then, you know, we're not willing to, you know, adjust our budgets to go after what he's calling us to go after. So anyway, it takes energy to make bread. But here's the thing. Eating the bread gives you more energy. Why? Because it's a carbohydrate, right? So it takes energy to make bread, but yet bread gives you energy. And I think it's so interesting that scripture compares itself to bread. Deuteronomy 8:3, it says that he might make you known that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Come on, it takes energy to get it, but the more you get it, the more it will energize you. Come on, we're talking about the word now. It takes energy to get this word in your heart. You can listen to a million sermons and might retain a percentage of it. But to get this word, the literal word in your heart, it takes effort. It takes getting up early to read this book. It takes staying up late to read this book. It means taking notes. It means highlighting. It means memorizing to get this word into your heart. But here's the catch. The more you get it into your heart, the more it energizes you, the more it gives you life, the better you hear God, the more it keeps you away from sin. So many people are struggling in the realm of sin and being caught in addictive cycles in their life. Science has done research that those who read the Bible more than 3 times a week far less struggle with pornography and sin and different addictions. Why? Because the more it gets in you, the more it energizes you. David said that your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. So again, it takes work to get bread. It takes work to get bread. But the more you eat the bread, the more energy that you have. Job valued his word above the necessity of food. David said, your word was found in me, and I did eat it, and it was joy to me. What does that mean? It means they were meditating on it. They were taking it in. They were chewing it like bread. It was becoming life on the inside of them. Like, how many bites do I have to take before I get the revelation? I don't know. Like that old commercial. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop, right? Like, how many scriptures do I have to read before I get revelation and breakthrough? I don't know, but I read and I study and I quote and I memorize until I get the breakthrough. I don't give up. It's bread. It's nourishment. It's life. The Bible says that this book is health to all of our members. It's a lamp unto our feet in the darkness. It's the sword that's sharper. It's sharper, it says, than a two-edged sword. It's our weapon of warfare. So when I'm still struggling and the night is dark and I don't know which way to go, I'll put in the energy to read and to go through these pages and to chew and to ingest until it breaks through. Often what happens is we get somebody like, all right, God, I'm going through a hard time. Let me find a verse. We do the old close our eyes and point and say, oh, in the day, the wrath of the Lord, they shall not satisfy their souls or fill their stomachs. This is what I point to. Right. And we that's then God's word to me. That's like, you know, having an infection or something in your body and taking one antibiotic and saying, well, it didn't work. Well, no, we know medically, we know if you've ever needed to take an antibiotic, is it's not a one and done, is it has to build up in your system. You have got to take it for days, sometimes weeks on end, let it build up in the system before it's strong enough to fight what the corruption is. And sometimes one quick prayer and one scripture isn't enough to break through where we're struggling. Sometimes we got to keep in, we got to keep studying, we got to keep reading, but we're letting it build up in our system. And then eventually it'll begin to drive out what is contrary to it. So it takes energy to make bread. It takes energy to get revelation. It takes energy to pray. But the more you do it, the more it energizes you. And then A, for ask, you have to ask for bread. Like when we go to Cracker Barrel, don't bother me with the cornbread. Just give me the nice, hot, soft biscuits. Now, we found out at Cracker Barrel, we have to ask, can you bring them before the meal? Otherwise, they bring it out with the meal. Now, I've been sitting there for 15 minutes with nothing to eat, and now you bring it out with the meal. And so now my meal's got to get cold so I can partake of a biscuit. So what I have found is when I go to Cracker Barrel, and I know you didn't ask for all of this information, but it's free, good resources for you. When you go to Cracker Barrel, I have to ask. We don't want any cornbread, just the biscuits with strawberry, extra strawberry jelly, and can you bring it out before the meal? And they do every time, right? So we have to ask for bread. That's why Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. 20 times in the New Testament, we are told to ask, seek, knock. Literally spells ask, seek, knock. If you have needs, you have bread needs, ask for it. Ask. All right, you ready for the D? We got to move on. Decay. There is a direct correlation between how healthy something is and how long it lasts. Unfortunately, the healthier it is, the quicker it decays. Like, have you seen those on social media, the pictures of like a McDonald's burger that's like 40 years old and it still looks like the day it did that came out of the, you know, kitchen? It's a little scary, right? But often what we have find is the healthier it is, the quicker it decays. And what God has for you, you have to get while it's hot. You have to keep your relationship with God fresh, because the manna that wasn't used when God would give it to the Israelites would melt into the ground. Why? Because God said, this is for now. This is not to be held over. This isn't for later. This is bread for today. That's why the scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. There are open doors where God says, seek me now for this while I may be found. There's revelation for you today. There's bread for you today. You can't live off of yesterday's manna or yesterday's revelation or yesterday's bread. It's not suitable for today. That was for yesterday. So you need fresh fire. In scripture, he would always say, take the ashes off of the altar from yesterday and offer up a fresh sacrifice, fresh fire before the Lord. That's why scripture would teach us that we should hold our miracle loosely, because what happens is we get a revelation yesterday and we hold on to it and we make it the doctrine for today. But God will often build off of that with new revelation for tomorrow, right? Think of Abraham and Isaac. Man, the Isaac was his promise, was his revelation, was his gift. And God said, will you give it to me? And he could hold on to that revelation from yesterday and say, no, God, you said that I would be the father of many nations through Isaac, through my son. Therefore, this could not be your word for me today to offer him up as a sacrifice. But that word was for yesterday. Now God's saying, here's your word for today. Will you let it go? Come on. So let me really quickly give you some takeaway truths on how this impacts our week, all that I just said. Well, number one, God knows what we need. We should give, this should give you confidence when you pray. He knows better than us what we need. That's why he says, pray, thy will be done. God, you know what I need. You know where I'm at. You know my circumstance. You know what I think. I know what I need. That's why it's so good. You have a pray in tongues, pray in the spirit, the Bible says. Why? Because it is bringing those perfect prayers before God, our spirit crying out to him. We try to filter it all sometimes through our mind and get it all messed up, right? But he knows that not everything that we think will turn out bad will turn out bad. Like I think of Paul, who was shipwrecked and he ended up leading an entire island to Christ, right? Like Jacob had his limp, but it became the most defining, life-changing moment of his life. Jesus on the cross, now offering us eternal life. There are all circumstances that on the surface, it might seem like, God, get me out of here. Fix this. Take this away from me. But God can look at it and say, listen, if you pray, thy will be done. That's what Jesus prayed in the garden. Lord, let this cup pass from me, but if not, not my will, but yours be done in me. Come on. Start using a pencil when defining your situation, not a pen. Why? Because God will often come in, and that very thing that you thought was a setback was the setup, not just for a comeback, but for a propelling forward. That's what happened with Abraham and Isaac, right? Like it would look like, God, this is a setback. You gave me this promise, and now I'm offering up on the altar. It's a setback. And God said, no. This was the setup for me to release you into the promise of becoming the father of many nations. Often how we look at life and say, well, this is a disaster. This is going to do me in. This is going to make me fail. God's looking up and saying, just pray, my will be done. Just pray, my will be done. Come on, pray in the spirit, pray in tongues, lift up that heavenly prayer language and always be praying, Lord, your will be done. In me, in my family, in the earth, in my children, in my church, your will be done. You know what it is that I need. You know the outcome of this thing. Paul would have certainly prayed that his ship wouldn't have wrecked. Jacob certainly would have prayed that he would have prevailed against the angel. Jesus did pray that the cup would pass before him if it were all possible. But in all of those situations, the outcome was so worth the temporary pain or the temporary discomfort or the temporary setback. So we know not, we got to be careful when we're saying, Lord, deliver me from this. God, get me out of this. We should be saying, Father, your will be done. Give me today my daily bread. Give me what I need to survive this storm. Give me what I need to walk through this trial. Be with me today as I go through this valley. And if it's your will that I walk through the valley, then I know I will come out the other side. If it's your will that I walk through the fire, then I'll come out the other side, not smelling like smoke. I know your plan is good for me if I just hold on. Come on. So number two, God knows when we need it. Not only does he know what we need, he knows when we need it. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. Everything. Think of the Israelites. They waited for 400 years with complete silence, but God knew the perfect time. Galatians 4:4 talks about that when the fullness of time had come, then God sent forth his son. He sent forth his son. When the fullness of time had come, God knows the timing. We do not. He knew the timing. You know, while David was hiding out in a cave, God said, not yet. when Joseph was in the pit, God said, not yet. Why? Because sometimes we need the time in the pit and in the cave in order to develop the character that will sustain us in the places that God has destined for us to go. Our greatest failure is when we rush God, try to rush him to the finish line, and we get there and he says, but you might have gotten there, but you don't have the character or the development in your life to sustain you there. And God's not looking for a destination. He's looking for the character to keep you in the destination. Come on, what he realized with the Israelites, come on, this is good today. He could have gotten them into the promised land in 11 days, but when he looked at them and realized that they were mumbling and complaining, what he saw is they didn't have the character or fortitude to not only get into the land, but they didn't have what it took. If they couldn't be satisfied with a God who had brought down the plagues on Egypt, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who was making their clothes not wear off and their shoes not wear out, the God who was bringing down manna in the morning and manna in the evening for them to eat, and making water come from a rock. If they couldn't trust that God, that they witnessed all of that, then what God saw is that they will not be able to trust me when I tell them to march around Jericho 7 times. They won't be able to trust me when I tell them to go into the city of Ai and destroy everything. Because if they can't trust me here, I'm preaching pretty good, better than I always say in church, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. If they won't trust me here, they're not going to trust me in there. So God said, because you're not faithful with what I'm showing you now, he could have brought them into the promised land, but it would have destroyed them. It would have destroyed them. And sometimes God's saying, no, you're not going to get there. No, I'm not releasing you into that season. No, I'm not opening that door, because what I'm trying to do is develop you in the pit and develop you in the cave so that when you get there, you can stand in the land that I've called you to stand in and possess that land and not have that land destroy you. Remember, they were coming up against some big giants in the land, was no match for God. But if they couldn't trust God when he was given a manna twice a day and parting seas for him left and right, they certainly weren't going to be able to trust God as they're standing with giants in front of them. Do you see that? So if you want to get to your promised land, come on, embrace that season, that growing season. So he says, pray that you would get daily bread, that his provision would be fresh. Plan for the future, absolutely. But don't worry about it. I'll keep my eyes on today. Lord, what do I have to do today? What's in front of me today? What do I have to face today? Give me this day my daily bread. In Jesus' name. So, Father, I pray for every person now who maybe we've been struggling under the weight of future plans and how it's all going to work out and how we're going to get there from point A to point B. And we've got the weight of the world resting on our shoulders. Would you remind us today that you said, ask me for daily bread? Would you give us the willingness to open up this book and spend the energy and the time and the resource that it takes to dig bread out of these words? And as we do, Lord, we know those words give us new energy to sustain and endure. And Father, if we find ourselves in a season of life that we'd rather not be in, and we keep looking out for the future and where we want to be and where we want to go and how we want life to look, but it just doesn't seem to be happening, would you remind us today, Father, that you are God and we are not. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And you know where we are. You didn't forget about David when he was in the cave, and you didn't forget about Joseph when he was in the pit. You were doing a greater work on the inside of them. So, Father, in this season, would you help us just ask you for daily bread? Give me what I need to get through today, and I'll trust the God who holds tomorrow. And tomorrow, he'll give me fresh bread to take care of tomorrow, to Did you ever look back over a season and think, man, how did I get out of that? People sometimes when they walk through grief and they walk through hardship, you know, the thought of that loved one before them passing is like, I couldn't even imagine. I'll never survive, but somehow they do. And I've often said, because a grace shows up. A grace shows up in our time of need to get us through what we need to walk through. And you can look back on those seasons and think, I don't even know how I got through. And it's because there was a grace there to do it. And sometimes we so look for the grace that God, that how are we going to get through that interview tomorrow? There will be a grace there. There will be daily bread there. How am I going to, you know, pay those debts and get through? There will be a grace. God will work it out. What I need to do is eat the bread that I need for today. So I trust that you were blessed by this teaching. Again, partake in this. I've been asking everyone to spend this week to memorize the Lord's Prayer. Put it on a card, your screensaver, whatever you have to do. Memorize the Lord's Prayer. Get it into your heart. Get it into your spirit. And set 3 times a day to pray. Pray in the morning. Of course, we just prayed together. And pray this afternoon at lunch. Pray this evening. And let's just really dive in to the Lord's Prayer together as we unpack these eternal truths together. Amen. Well, be blessed. Remember, God absolutely loves you. He is not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.